Welcome to Gracefully, your field guide to growing old. I'm Lisa Napoli in Los Angeles. A couple years ago, at age 60, the writer Meredith Marin had a crash course in that old maxim that life is what happens to you when you're making other plans. Her marriage broke up, and needing a job, she found herself moving hundreds of miles away to Los Angeles, a place she had no desire to live. She chronicles how she put herself back together again after the heartache in her new book, The New Old Me, My Late Life Reinvention, that she ultimately fell in love with her new life, surprised even her.
This actually was the only place on earth that I had sworn for decades I would never live. It was quite a reversal to come here. It wasn't such a reversal to come here because I did that because I was desperate for an income, but what was surprising was falling in love with what I thought was the worst example of what humans could do to a perfectly nice geography.
But do you think that part of that, I mean, let's start first with the job. Part of it is having a purpose and being accepted in a workplace is a really lovely thing, especially when, in your case, you needed the work. So do you think that that had something to
accepted,
do with it?
Accepted is pushing it, though.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I was definitely accepted by my employer as an employee, but beyond that, it was a very rocky introduction or reintroduction to the workforce. I've never been much of an employee. I'm fairly unemployable, but I'd never had an experience like that where I come into a, of all things, a fashion business in Hollywood, the literal Hollywood, not the metaphorical Hollywood, and everybody around me is 22 and a size zero and very fashion forward, and I seem to be Casper the Ghost. I just didn't, nobody noticed I was there. So, which actually served my purposes in many ways because I was in no mood to be chatting it up with the kids.
Right.
As I call them.
You needed to hide out and just sort of, you're not even sure what you needed to do, right? When we're thrust into that kind of situation.
That's a good way
just,
to put it.
Right?
Yeah, that's really true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I knew that the days that I worked in the office 4 days a week, and I definitely noticed that the days I went to work were both more difficult emotionally, but also took me out of my head for at least a few hours in the day. And when I first started, I used to take crying breaks in the bathroom, which was terrible in a fashion business because I was applying and reapplying makeup three or four times a day. But then after a while, it became more, as I was recovering from the shock of all the events that had happened, I started really getting into it, you know, just having, as you say, a purpose and a sense of accomplishment. I did well in the job, you know, getting a little pat on the back and a promotion and a raise is always very nice when you're feeling like a pile of warmed over, et cetera.
But there were allies along the way. And that's what I also found really great is that even in an unlikely place, both geographically and employment-wise, there are always people who kind of help, right? And that seemed like it was part of your sort of evolution too.
Yeah, I'd say beyond a part, I would say that friendships, new friendships with perfect strangers was really the one thing that saved me beyond all other things. In fact, right before we started chatting, I was setting up a hiking date with the woman I called Charlotte in the book, who is still one of my best friends and now has a two-year-old daughter who's my goddaughter. So these relationships have really lasted, and I think in part because when I made them, when I met these people, and when they were so kind and kind of took me in, really, in my condition, I think I've learned something from that it's actually, in some ways, better to meet people when you're in a million pieces, because heartbroken also means heart open, you know, and I think they came to know me as a person who had no facade whatsoever. You know, I just wasn't capable of it. So when we made a friendship, it was the real me and the real them. And those friendships are still the kind of core of my happiness in Los Angeles.
How does age play into that? Because there's nothing unusual about someone being 20 or even 30 and moving to a new place
right.
and having to carve things
right.
out. I know you've thought a lot about it. You wrote about it, but can you articulate it?
Yeah. It's interesting. You know, I think in some ways, I mean, most people, when they hear this story, they say, oh my God, at 60, you did this, you know, left everything behind and started from scratch and moved to a city that's youth obsessed and beauty obsessed. Yes, I did. And I think in some ways, being 60 made it harder. And in other ways, being 60 made it easier. The harder part is pretty obvious. You know, I was in a time of life, in a phase of life that I thought was that I thought I had made it to the sort of the top of the hill, and now I was going to just sort of gracefully descend the other side, you know, and slide out into the next universe or wherever it is we go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was very much in kind of cruise mode, and then I had to go into overdrive suddenly. So that was the hardest part, was giving up not only the person who was my wife and, you know, the friends and people and places that were really important to me for 30 years I lived in Oakland before I came here, but more so in a way the dream. I didn't think it was a dream. I thought it was a plan, but it turned out to be a dream that I was awakened from. But, you know, the plan was to continue writing, of course, because that's not a retirable position, but, you know, to be with my wife, and we had plans to move to the country, and, you know, we had our whole old age planned out, and then suddenly I'm having to behave like a person who's 30 years younger than I was.
Mm-hmm.
That was really tough.
But
the good part about everything that happens now, and people laugh when I say this in conversation, but I really mean it. The good news is I'm going to die soon. So, I mean, relatively soon. So, you know, it's like I don't really have to think too much about long-term planning, you know. And it sounds crass, but it's really kind of liberating, you know. It's when I think about establishing patterns or, you know, I just came from my daily hard as hell workout, and I always think every day, well, only say 10, 20 more years of this. You know, whatever's bad, it's like it's not going to last that much longer. So, you know, and whatever's good, I'm scarfing it up because it's not going to last that much longer.
Well, and there is that in how we deal with aging. But I think what you said earlier is also universal, too. Whatever the particulars, whether a marriage breaks up or a house is lost, inevitably, if we keep living, we're going to deal with some loss, and we're going to have to either...
Right.
rise to the occasion and keep getting out of bed, which I know you didn't always want to do, or we just die. And we do. I mean, I'm sure you've known people who did take that option where they just sort of wither
mm-hmm.
away. And I guess that's
mm-hmm.
why your book is so really resonated for me. And also obviously it is for other people too resonating, because you didn't choose that option. You kept going.
Right, and nor did I choose the circumstances that were thrown at me, and that, you know, you're right, I've been delightfully surprised that people who have come to my readings and people I get letters from, many of them are in their 20s and 30s, which is exactly what I wanted to happen, and I'm really grateful and happy that it's happening. You know, I think for women especially, it is a time of, in a way, our whole gender and gender relations being reinvented. You know, it's not just an individual thing. I think that first of all, my grandmother died both of my grandmothers died in their 60s, and we are just plain living longer, so there's that. But I think for my mother to have done this would have been much more difficult than it was for me emotionally and also logistically. I don't think in my mother's era, a 60-year-old could have started in a new job, you know, with much younger people in that kind of industry especially. So, you know, we have changed the world, and now the world is changing us.
You said a few minutes ago, 30s and 40s, 40-year-old people are coming to your readings, and you're pleasantly surprised, but you wanted to target them. What are they saying? Are they looking to you for, what do you think they're looking for in reading this
book? Well, I can tell you specifically, for example, I had one young woman who's in her early 20s come because she got gay married and she got gay divorced. And I actually wrote a piece in the New York Times before the book came out about that, about, mm-hmm. you know, how getting gay divorced feels like a betrayal, not only of your wedding vows individually, but also sort of collectively, that every gay marriage should be perfect so we can prove we really deserve to be married. Like the straight people who never get divorced. You know, so she came for that reason. She just really resonated with that whole experience. I've had several women in their 20s and 30s come and say, you know, that they're reinventing themselves, that they went through college feeling or knowing that they were going to have a certain career and that they were on a certain path, and then they get out of college and they don't feel like doing whatever it is they had planned to do, so they have to rethink. I think there are three realms. One is geographical dislocation or relocation. A lot of women who come because they relate to the story are women who are moving, just starting a new life for whatever reason. And I guess because the book is about a woman doing this on her own in kind of a new aloneness, I'm attracting people, women mostly, who are also doing it alone. So there's mm-hmm. kind of starting over geographically, there's starting over professionally. I'm getting a lot of that. And then there's the marriage story, which, you know, I mean, I get the most moving letters from people saying, I got one today from a woman in the Midwest saying, I couldn't be more unlike you. You know, I'm heterosexual. I live in the Midwest. I work in the insurance business. I have the most boring job in America, you know, but my husband of 30 years just left me, and I don't have an identity without being married. And I am really looking at my whole life trying to figure out where to go from here in a way that isn't just about replacing a husband, but it's really rethinking what do I want to do while I'm here.
You've become this voice for people that you can survive. I mean, people needed to hear that.
Yeah, you know, in terms of media, I know there's that Grace and Frankie show with Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda, but there's really not, and that one is kind of, in a way, it's not really about women on their own. It's not about starting over. It's just about their husbands falling in love with each other. But, you know, there's not much representation of mature women starting over. It's kind of Alice doesn't live here anymore for the aughts. Yeah.
This is so exciting that these kinds of works are finally coming out. Mm-hmm. You knew that people, mm-hmm. you knew that people have had to grapple with all of these issues, but
right,
you know, until you articulate them as you have so well, it's not getting out there the way it needs to. So, mm-hmm. well, so you're here now, and this is your home.
For now, this is my home. I'm now officially allergic to the phrase, I know what's going to happen next. So I don't, you know, a lot of people ask me if I'm going to stay in the house I'm in the city I'm in the life I'm in. I really don't know. For now, I'm thrilled to be here and, you know, adding on things to life here, exploring the ocean as well as the mountains and the cities around here, and just continuing to make new friends, which means being exposed to new things. And, you know, it still feels really kind of new and shiny to me, and I love that.
Meredith Marin's new book, her 14th, is called The New Old Me, My Late Life Reinvention. Come see us live in conversation on May 26th if you're anywhere near West Hollywood, California. We'll be talking with writer Annabelle Gurwitch, too, at the West Hollywood Public Library in a program called It's Never Too Late. I'm Lisa Napoli in Los Angeles. Thanks for listening to Gracefully.